Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Start with a word of prayer. Father, as we open your word today, we come with open hearts. We know this is not just another book. This is your voice, living and active. Please speak to us. Correct us where we need to change and comfort us where we are weak. Shape us to be more like Jesus. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever seen someone walking while looking at their phones? Well, they move slowly, bump into things, and sometimes even into people. A few days ago, I saw a man doing exactly that. He was walking down the sidewalk, texting, completely focused on his screen, and he didn't see a bench right in front of him and suddenly hit it with his leg. He stopped for a moment. He looked around, a little embarrassed, and then kept walking, still texting, as if nothing had happened. I could help thinking, brother, this is why Paul says, look carefully how you walk. And sometimes I think Paul will write the same advice for today's generation. Look carefully, don't walk distracted. Of course, Paul is not talking about how we walk physically. He is talking about how we live. And so Ephesians 5 is a journey where Paul gives us three simple but powerful pictures of what the Christian life looks like as a result of the new identity we have received in Christ. And he used the same illustration. Verses 1 to 7, he says, walk in love. Verses 8 to 14 says, walk in light. And now in verses 15 to 21, he completes the picture and says, walk in wisdom. So here is the first thing Paul wants us to see. What is the meaning of walking wisely? What is the meaning of walking wisely? And look at verses 15 and 17. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So Paul starts with this simple but powerful command. Look carefully how you walk. The word carefully means to examine closely, to pay attention to every moment. It's a picture of someone climbing a steep, rocky mountain, and every step there is planned. Every little crack in the rock is checked before putting a foot or a hand there, because one wrong move could be deadly. And that is the kind of careful attention Paul wants us to bring into our daily lives. Look carefully how you walk. So how do we do that? Well, Paul gives us two ways. First, redeeming the time, and then understanding the will of the Lord. First is walking and making the best use of time. The phrase literally means bringing back the opportunity. It's a market transaction image. Like someone seeing something valuable and paying the price to make it theirs. So making the best use of time means don't waste your time on things that have no eternal value. Use your time like a wise investor. Think of it like this. Time is the one currency you cannot earn back. Once you spend it, it's gone. You can lose money and recover it, right? But once time is gone, it's gone. So Paul is inviting us to use our moments for things that outlast this world. When we sit down to teach our children about Jesus, when we sit down as a family to open the word of God at home, we are redeeming time. When we spend an evening encouraging a friend instead of scrolling endlessly in our cell phones, we are redeeming time. When we choose rest and prayer over worry and stress, we are redeeming time. That is wisdom. That is what wisdom does. It makes every moment count like a good investment that lasts forever. But the second way that Paul is telling us to walk wisely is not being foolish, but understanding is the second part of that verse. Not being foolish, but understanding or knowing what the will of the Lord is. To know God's will doesn't mean trying to guess his secret plans. It's not like he's a crystal ball to tell us our future, like who you will marry, what job you will have, or where you will live. Those things are not written in the Bible, but what is written is the kind of person God wants us to be, wherever we live and whatever we do. That is the revealed will of God. And it's very clear from the scriptures. If you open your Bible, you will see there, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. Thessalonians tells us that the will of God is our sanctification or our holification, the work of the Holy Spirit in us. The will of God is to forgive others, to show mercy, to live humbly and to act justly, and to love our neighbors. That is the revealed will of God for all of us. So instead of asking, who should I marry, ask, what kind of person does God want me to be? Or, what kind of person does God want me to look for? If you find that, you're already halfway to the altar. If Indeed, that is the will of God for you. And if indeed is the right time for you. But the same goes for your work, your business, your finances, your parenthood, and where you decide to live. God may not send you a dream asking you move to Halifax. But he has already given you a biblical heart to guide you. And that heart is shaped by his word and filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you will always be sure that the Spirit is going to guide you to the will of God. So that is what it means to walk wisely, not guessing God's secret plans, but trusting and obeying what he has already made clear in his word. But let's be honest. Living wisely is not easy. We can know what is right and still not have the strength to do it. And so Paul tells us where the power to walk wisely actually comes from. Notice in verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." There is where the power comes from. So Paul moves from wisdom and how wisdom looks like to where the power for wisdom comes from. And the first thing he says is both simple and surprising in that verse. Do not get drunk with wine. Why mention that in this passage? Well, because drunkenness is a picture of a life under the wrong influence. When a person is drunk, alcohol controls their words, emotions, decisions, and even their bodily movements. And Paul here is not making a list of bad habits. He's not saying drunk is wrong. No, he is giving us a contrast between being controlled by something external and being filled by someone internal. Instead of being filled with wine, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. The literal translation is, keep being filled with the Spirit. It is not something that happens once at conversion. It is a daily, daily exercise. Now, there is something grammatically beautiful here. The verb be filled is passive, which means you don't feel yourself. But that imposes a problem for us, right? Paul is telling us what you do is you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. And that changes everything. This is not about emotional hype or willpower. It is about surrender. Let me put it this way. The Holy Spirit is already in you the moment that you believe in Jesus Christ. But being filled means giving the Spirit more and more space to work, to guide, to shape, and to change you. Think of it like this. Imagine a sailboat. The sailor cannot make the wind blow, but he can raise the sail. When the sail is lifted, the wind fills it and moves the boat for. And that is what it means to be filled with the Spirit. To raise your sail through your obedience, prayer, and surrender, and let God move you where He wants. Now, how do we raise the sail in our daily life? Let me give you three practical things to do. First, we open the Word of God. Because the Spirit speaks through the very Word He inspires. That is the first thing that you can do if you want to be filled with the Spirit. Open the Word of God. Second, we confess sin. Because sin is like a hole in the sail. When the sail has holes, the wind loses power and the boat stops moving. And third, we live in community. Because the Spirit fills us together, not in isolation. And through all this, we need to keep praying, as the Scripture tells us, at all time, saying, Spirit, guide me. Fill me. Spirit, take control of my heart. In the end, that is the key. Who is leading my life? So the question is not, do I have all the Spirit? But does the Spirit have all of me? That is the key in this passage. But Paul doesn't leave us guessing. In the next verses, he shows what looks like in real life. What does it look when the Spirit has all of you? Notice what it says in verses 19 to 21. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Notice something important here. Paul doesn't describe the Spirit filling with loud emotions or dramatic effects. He doesn't say you will shine, shout, or perform miracles. Instead, he says you will sing, you will thank, and you will submit. And that's not what we are thinking when we are thinking about being filled by the Holy Spirit, right? But that is what the Holy Spirit looks like. Not emotional fireworks, but gentle and steady transformation. And so Paul gives us here four clear signs of a life where the Spirit truly has all of you. And each one of them happens in community. This is the first sign. Notice what it says. People filled with the Spirit speak life through, and I will read the part of the verse, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are how we speak God's truth to one another. Psalms are the ancient prayers of the people of God. A person filled with the Spirit speaks psalms with others. And then hymns are songs that proclaim the glory of Christ. And we have examples of hymns in the scriptures. We have the glory of Christ described in Philippians chapter 2, in Colossians chapter 1, or 1 Timothy chapter 3. Magnify Christ. And then spiritual songs are the personal words that rise from the Spirit's work in our hearts. These are testimonies, personal testimonies of what God is doing in us right now. That is spiritual songs. What is the Lord doing in your life? And you, from your heart, said, this is what God is doing in my heart. You shall know. I want to tell you. The point is very simple. A church full of the Holy Spirit doesn't just sing. It speaks life. When we share words of truth, hope, and praise, we remind each other of who God is, what He has done, and what He is still doing in our hearts. The second sign people filled with the Spirit is sing and make music in the heart to the Lord. The Spirit doesn't just fill our mouth. He fills our hearts. This melody begins in personal communion with God, but finds its voice among His people. When hearts full of love, gratitude, and joy turn to the Lord together, the result is harmony in song with many voices. All our voices directed to Him. But it starts in our hearts. So how about preparing all the week to come on Sunday and sing spiritual songs, and to sing spiritual songs that are coming from our hearts, and to sing it together. A melody to the Lord played in the company of His people. And the third sign is people filled with the Spirit give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This one is not easy. We all face moments when gratitude feels impossible, when pain is deep, or life feels unfair. We wonder, how can I thank God for this? Someone once told me, Marvin, you are a hypocrite for pretending to be thankful when you have no reason to be grateful. And actually, when I look around, I said, yeah, I don't have any reason. He was right. But gratitude is not pretending. Gratitude, it is believing. It's not acting strong. It's trusting that God is still good, still wise, and still working, even when we do not see how He is working. And here is the beauty. Even when we can't find a single reason in our situation to give thanks, we already have the greatest reason to be grateful. Jesus Christ. That's why we give thanks to God the Father in the name, in the nature, in the work of Jesus for us. Because of Him, we can look at our struggles and we can say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I trust You. And I assure you, there you will have always and in everything a heart full of gratitude to the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, the fourth sign is people filled with the Spirit is submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul says that when the Spirit has all of you, humility and submission begin to show. People filled with the Spirit don't compete for control. They serve out of love and in love. Submission doesn't mean weakness. It means willingly placing ourselves under God's good order, trusting His wisdom in how He has arranged our relationships. To submit is to accept God's design and our place within His design. It's not out of fear or inferiority, but out of reverence for Christ. It is saying, Lord, Your will before mine. It is putting relationships before rights and love before pride. And notice that is what is wrong right now in our society. We want to put our rights before relationships, and we want to put our pride before love. The opposite of the design of God for us. But this is the kind of submission that marks a life filled with the Spirit. Humility, joyful, trusting. It is not about losing freedom, but finding it in God's will, in God's mind, in God's heart. And when the Spirit has all of us, then submission becomes the normal, becomes the shape of our life. And so, my friends, that is very, very difficult to replicate. But that as well is walking wisely. Our job is to raise our sails to the wind of the Spirit. Because from there we are going to receive the power to do all these things that looks very, very difficult and impossible for all of us. But the Spirit working, moving you is powerful. Let us pray. Father, thank You for Your word that reminds us to walk wisely and to live fully. Not but by our strength, but by Your Spirit. So this morning we want to pray that You will fill us again. We have come to Your word. Maybe if there are things that we need to confess right now, we want to confess things to You, Lord. We don't want to have these holes in our lives. We want to be moved by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Now, Lord, as we sing, reminds us that this is not through us, but through Christ in us, through His Spirit in us. That's our hope, that's our song, and that's our strength to keep moving. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.